Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insights to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. All of Proverbs chapter 1. Lord, thank you for your word, which is a wonderful and a blessed book, full of wisdom, full of grace, full of understanding and insight. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word truly is counsel straight from your heart and your mind. And thank you for the many ways that our lives are blessed as we simply take time to read and listen to your voice through your word as you speak to us day by day through your precious and powerful word. Thank you for each and every one of us, Lord. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the praying church you've called us to be, and anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would encourage us to fill our hearts and our minds with your word every day, and anoint us afresh with the Spirit of obedience. Empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today. I ask that it'd be you that moves today. Father, I ask that you'd speak through your scriptures today. Father, I ask that we wouldn't wait for difficulty to pursue you, to desire you. I pray that we'd steel ourselves and set our desire on you, Father. And thank you so much for your son and for all of this motivation to just spend time with you. It's to, that we can return to the Garden of Paradise by just being with you, Father. Thank you so much for this opportunity. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Just a reminder to all of our listeners, on a pretty regular basis, we're consistently encouraging you to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. If you don't have that habit, today is a good day to start that habit. And keep in mind, too, you might desire to read the same chapter 3 times over, which is fine, which is great. Or you may choose to do 3 different chapters. That can be very productive as well. But the key is remembering when you're reading God's Word, it's both quantity and quality, okay? Both are important. Sometimes a person may say, well, I just want to concentrate on one verse. Well, you know, that can be good to do as well. But spending time with the Word of God is spending time with Jesus. And remember this, Jesus will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him in the Word. And it's always productive time because you'll always be a different person on the other side of your time in God's Word. Or in other words, you'll be a different person on the time you spent with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Father, thank you again for the opportunity for us to make time in your Word one of the key priorities of our day. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit that would cause us to have a growing hunger for your Word, and more help us to make time to get into your Word significantly every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, the Great Commission is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, where the Lord tells us, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So the work of discipleship is something that you and I are to be seeking God's guidance and help to do every day of our lives. And we're to live a life in cooperation with the Holy Spirit because he knows exactly how to help us do that most productively every single day. So we need to be living in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit to know how to do that most productively every day of our lives. Every day we're to be God's vessel through which he can reach to do the work of both sharing the gospel and encouraging believers to grow up and grow stronger and stronger in their walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the reasons why we encourage you to email us to get copies of the articles that we share is because that's exactly what these articles are. They're resources to help you do the work of making disciples. We're called to be disciples, and we're called to make disciples as well. So that's an important goal for us to seek to follow the Lord in doing every day of our lives. I want to take time now to share just such an article. And again, keep in mind, these articles are found, most of these, if not all of them, will be found on the AFA stand. Go to afa.net to find them. And just simply find them by the titles. This particular article is entitled, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? Again, why should I read and meditate on God's Word daily? Why? Ask this question. Why is it an issue? Well, we live in a busy world. We're all, quote unquote, running every day. We all have lots to do. We all have full schedules. We each have a set of priorities. Each of us can say, I'm a very busy person. We each set our own schedules. We each decide what we will do. We each choose to do what we want to do each day. Well, in the busyness of life, why should we read God's Word every day? Why is it important to make it a priority to open God's Word and spend time in His Word every single day? And why is it important to read a significant portion rather than only a single scripture or two a day? Well, let me explain. The Word of God is food for our spirit. Some believers don't seem to realize that we really do need to feed our spirit similarly to how we need to feed our physical bodies. In view of this reality, some believers feed their spirit very poorly and very inconsistently. And for that reason, there are too many believers that are basically spiritually anemic. They're weak, unreliable, easily defeated, easily misled spiritually. Too many believers nibble on the Word of God when we need to be eating good, wholesome, and nourishing meals of God's Word every single day. It appears that too many believers seem to live a quote-unquote fasted lifestyle when it comes to God's Word. Yet when it does come to the Word of God, you should never fast. Every believer needs a daily diet of God's Word. We should read and meditate on God's Word every single day. Reading 3 chapters in the Bible every day is a good basic quote-unquote spiritual diet to begin with. When we read God's Word every day, many very important things happen to us spiritually. We grow closer to God. We grow in our knowledge and understanding of God, and we're empowered in the things of God. As we read and think on God's Word, the Word and the Holy Spirit together are working in us and upon us. They are molding and shaping us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we spend time reading God's Word, the Word of God programs us to more and more to think and walk and act more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Daily, as we read God's Word, we're empowered in the things of God. Also, we are washed anew by the cleansing power of God's Word. See Ephesians chapter 5. As we read, we are nourished in the things of God, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Taking time to pray and ask God to help you begin the discipline or habit of reading God's Word every day is a wise thing to do. Once you begin this habit, it will be one of the most productive habits or disciplines of your whole life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Here are 11 excellent reasons you should read the Word of God every single day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Number two, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Number three, reading the Word daily empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Number four, reading the Word daily sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Number five, reading the Word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Number six, reading the Word daily helps you maintain your mental health. Number seven, reading the Word daily increases God's anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Number eight, reading God's Word daily increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1 through 4. Nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. Reading the Word daily literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Number 10, reading the Word daily pours grace, peace, joy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 2, 2 Timothy 1, 2, and Galatians 5, 22. And then 11, in direct statement or in principle, reading the Word daily gives you guidance and or direction about every possible issue or topic in life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Seven ways to use the Word daily. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. And remember, reading 3 chapters of the Bible daily will bless your life a lot. Again, the title of that article, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? My email, joseph@afr.net, if you'd like to get a copy. We'll be right back.
Upon the waters, the great unknown.
From Hillsong with Oceans. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God as we continue in 1 Kings chapter 2, picking up at verse 36. The king then sent for Shimei and told him, "Build a house here in Jerusalem and live there. But don't step outside the city to go anywhere else. On the day you so much as cross the Kidron Valley, you will surely die, and your blood will be on your own head." Shimei replied, "Your sentence is fair. I will do whatever my lord the king commands." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. But 3 years later, two of Shimei's slaves ran away to King Achish, son of Maacah of Gath. When Shimei learned where they were, he saddled his donkey and went to Gath to search for them. When he found them, he brought them back to Jerusalem. Solomon heard that Shimei had left Jerusalem and had gone to Gath and returned. So the king sent for Shimei and demanded, "Didn't I make you swear by the Lord and warn you not to go anywhere else, or you would surely die?" And you replied, "The sentence is fair. I will do as you say." Then why haven't you kept your oath to the Lord and obeyed my command? The king said to Shimei, You certainly remember all the wicked things you did to my father David. May the Lord now bring that evil on your own head. But may I, King Solomon, receive the Lord's blessings. And may one of David's descendants always sit on his throne in the presence of the Lord." Then at the king's command, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, took Shimei outside and killed him. So the kingdom was now firmly in Solomon's grip. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David, until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around the city. At that time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon, so the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, where he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then he invited all his officials to a great banquet. Sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. "Please, my lord," one of them began, "this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There were only two of us in the house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning, when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all." Then the other woman interrupted, "It certainly was your son. And the living child is mine." "No," the first woman said, "the living child is mine and the dead one is yours." And so they argued back and forth before the king. Then the king said, "Let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword." So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other." Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, "Oh no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him." But the other woman said, "All right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us." Then the king said, "Do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother." When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw that the wisdom God had given him, for they saw the wisdom God had given him for rendering justice. 1 Kings chapter 4. King Solomon now ruled over all Israel, and these were his high officials. Azariah, son of Zadok, was the priest. Elihoref and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, were court secretaries. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was commander of the army. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah, son of Nathan, was in charge of the district governors. Zabud, son of Nathan, a priest, was a trusted advisor to the king. Ahishar was manager of the palace property. Adoniram, son of Abda, was in charge of forced labor. Solomon also had 12 district governors who were over all Israel. They were responsible for providing food for the king's household. Each of them arranged provisions for 1 month of the year. These are the names of the 12 governors: Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim, Ben-Decker in Makaz, Shealbim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elon, Beth-Hanan, Ben-Hasid in Aroboth, including Soko and all the land of Hefer, Ben-Abinadab in all of Naphoth Dor. He was married to Tophath, one of Solomon's daughters. Baanah, son of Ahilud, in Taanach and Megiddo, all of Beth Shan near Zarethan below Jezreel, and all the territory from Beth Shan to Abel Meholah and over to Jokmeam. Ben Geber in Ramoth Gilead, including the towns of Jair, named for Jair of the tribe of Manasseh, in Gilead and in the Argob region of Bashan, including 60 large fortified towns with bronze bars on their gates. Ahinadab, son of Iddo, in Mahanaim. Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He was married to Basemath, another of Solomon's daughters. Baanah, son of Hushai, in Asher and Aloth. Jehoshaphat, son of Perua, in Issachar. Shimei, son of Elah, in Benjamin. Geber, son of Uri, in the land of Gilead, including the territories of King Sihon of the Amorites and King Og of Bashan. There was also one governor over the land of Judah. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They were very contented, with plenty to eat and drink. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River in the north to the land of the Philistines and the border of Egypt in the south. The conquered peoples of those lands sent tribute money to Solomon and continued to serve him throughout his lifetime. The daily food requirements of Solomon's palace were 150 bushels of choice flour and 300 bushels of meal. Also 10 oxen from the fattening pens, 10 oxen from the fattening pens, pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep or goats, as well as deer, gazelles, roe deer, and choice poultry. Solomon's dominion extended over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River, from Tiphsah to Gaza, and there was peace on all his borders. During the lifetime of Solomon, all of Judah and Israel lived in peace and safety, and from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. Each family had its own home and garden. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his chariot horses, and he had 12,000 horses. The district governors faithfully provided food for King Solomon and his court. Each made sure nothing was lacking during the month assigned to him. They also brought the necessary barley and straw for the royal horses in the stables. God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding, and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite and the sons of Mahol, Heman, Chalcol, and Darda. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. He composed some 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. Verses 1 through 32, 1 Kings chapter 4. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us.
Music from the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. Reading that verse again. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work together and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Please open your hearts to us. We have not done wrong to anyone, nor led anyone astray, nor taken advantage of anyone. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I said before that you are in our hearts, and we live or die together with you. I have the highest confidence in you, and I take great pride in you. You have greatly encouraged me and made me happy despite all our troubles. When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. When he told us how much you longed to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you are not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Just see what this godly sorrow produced in you. Such earnestness, such concern to clear yourselves, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, and such a readiness to punish wrong. You showed that you have done everything necessary to make things right. My purpose then was not to write about who did the wrong or who was wrong. I wrote to you so that in the sight of God, you could see for yourselves how loyal you are to us. we have been greatly encouraged by this. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was about the way all of you welcomed him and set his mind at ease. I had told him how proud I was of you, and you didn't disappoint me. I have always told you the truth, and now my boasting to Titus has also proved true. Now he cares for you more than ever when he remembers the way all of you obeyed him and welcomed him with such fear and deep respect. I am very happy now because I have complete confidence in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scripture says, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. But thank God, he has given Titus the same enthusiasm for you that I have. Titus welcomed our request that he visit you again. In fact, he himself was very eager to go and see you. Verses 1 through 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. And if you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible today, each day, today is a good day to start that very important habit. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart as the Lord and Savior of your life, we'd like to invite you to make that very, very important decision today. If you'd like to commit your life to Christ, be saved, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you simply pray this prayer from your heart as we lead you? And please take the time to ask Christ to come into your heart to save you and make you brand new. Would you do it now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You said in your word that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life following you. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. And help me to live a life of great obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, and Lord, help me to read it daily and to live it daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource material that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please email us. We definitely want to get that to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the title, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? Again, that's the title of the article. Simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Please remember that we ask you to pray much for the productions of Rev Riding in the Hood, our stage play that will happen at Blue Mountain Christian University this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Your prayers are very much appreciated. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.